I'm Amy Kimberly, and I'm here with Ed Jurdy from the Band of Heathens. Band of Heathens are going to be performing tonight in Carbondale. It is a celebration for the Carbondale Creative District and a benefit for KDNK Community Radio. How are you, Ed?
Doing great, Amy. Thanks for having me.
You know, it's particularly exciting to have this conversation with you because as I was reading about Duende and what it means, what that word means, a quality of inspiration and passion, a heightened sense of emotion, expression, and authenticity, a spirit, I felt like that was very much what Carbondale is about and what the Carbondale Creative District and this whole Roaring Fork Valley. It's a spirit that we really embody. And I feel like you guys really approach your music as artists. And it leads me to wonder, where do life and art intersect for you?
Everywhere, to be honest with you, you know? I mean, playing music, you know, I think as a collective and individually, we strive to live a life of art and music and creating things, you know? So, I think the intersection is at all points, you know? There's not really a whole lot of separation between life and art. They both certainly inform each other all the time.
Yeah. And this album in particular was a very collaborative album, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think they've all been collaborative in different ways. This one just seemed to have a really good collective dynamic, you know. I think everyone really, really brought a lot to the table, and there's a lot of shining individual moments, but more importantly, there's a lot of moments where the cohesiveness of the group really, really kind of creates a powerful dynamic.
And so when you go into a recording and you approach that, is it a lot of sitting down with everyone in the band and talking about it? Is it a lot of brainstorming? Is it working through many songs and then bringing them down? Is it all of that? You know, how does it work for you guys when you begin to a concept of an album?
Yeah, it's all of that. It's always different every time, to be honest with you. But this time specifically on Duende, though, we started with a lot of material. I mean, we had upwards of 40 songs, which is far more than we've ever had in the past. We started a folder online, a Dropbox folder, basically, and everyone was just uploading songs that they were writing and passing ideas around and things of that nature. So we really kind of began, you know, with the 40, and we didn't really, when we started recording, there wasn't necessarily a bent to do a record. We started working in 2 or 3 day chunks at a time, you know, recording 3 or 4 songs here and there, which was kind of a good starting point to the record. And we started being able to focus on a direction, and kind of what we were after became a lot more apparent to us after a couple of rounds of recording for 3 days at a time. You know, we were just finding that the material there was a little bit more rock and roll based, a little bit more band performance based was the stuff that was kind of resonating and coming to life best. So we then kind of started pursuing the material that fit under that umbrella better. And that's really when I think the whole thing came together in a nice way.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely shows. And this is your fifth studio album. You have three live albums, I believe. So when you know that you're recording or you're creating a live album, is that basically you listen to all these different live tracks and you pick the ones that are the best as opposed to...
Well, that's how it's done sometimes. I think, again, like each one of those projects is a little bit different. The most recent one we did, which was the Double Down, which is, I think, that's mm-hmm. like five or six years ago now. We recorded two nights in Denver at Cervantes. And that was initially going to be one one record release, but as we kind of started going through the performances, there was so much good stuff that it ended up becoming two volumes, and really, they're pretty different shows both nights, so it wasn't like we were choosing from, you know, two or three different versions of the same song. It was really kind of, we just kind of went through and picked what performances we thought were the best from each one of the nights and included them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the, you know, all the live efforts that we've done, there really, you know, sometimes bands do live records and they go back and there's a lot of kind of fixing and tinkering and stuff like that. But those live records were all recorded one night or two nights. So things that weren't good or weren't usable, they just get lopped off.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I think the idea with the live record is to kind of really kind of try to showcase what actually was happening in the room that night, you know. If it's something to kind of go and try to make a perfect document, or, you know, try to make it mistake-free or something like that, that would be, you know, more conducive to, I think, a studio record.
Yeah, and you know, I always find when I watch you guys, and I think that's what I was craving, which is kind of how this whole thing got started. I was, wow, I haven't seen the band Heathens here in Carbondale. And there was always a very special connection between the band and the audience when you guys have played in the past. But that word authenticity is something we're struggling with here. And how do we retain our authenticity while cost of living skyrockets and the world's going crazy and, you know, any number of factors. And for a band, you know, every time I watch a Heathens show, I feel that authenticity. But yet, night after night, it can't always be easy to get to that place. You know, what is it for you? How do you do that?
Well, that's interesting. I think, you know, the audience really made the band. You know what I mean? Like, a band is kind of an unformed thing until people that like the music and support it and listen to it come out and see the band play, you know, and we, that's really where we started. We started by playing live first and foremost. I think in terms of, you know, after doing it for a number of years and trying to have it resonate every night when you go out to do it, it's just, you know, you try to just keep, you know, the two or three hours, however long the show's going to be, you just try to keep that a sacred space in terms of trying to not let the things of the day get in the way, you know, for good or bad. It's kind of a different zone that you want to try to get into when you're playing. And I'm kind of making this sound like it's an intellectual sort of act, but I think it's more just of a, you know, it's a ritual. We've done it, you know, I mean, over 1,000 times at this point, you know.
Right.
And I think, you know, I think there's an expectation from the audience. So I think for us, it's like we want to make sure that we go out put on a great show and connect with the people that have come and taken time out of their day to be a part of the communion and a part of the celebration. You know, I definitely think that's how we view it. It's kind of one of the last, you know, last ritual gatherings like that where, you know, it's kind of just a joyful occasion. And the idea is to sort of blot out all that other stuff, you know, whether it be with, you know, the madness that's going on in the world or, you know, whatever trouble's going on in your personal life. You know, it's you know, I mean, you know, you're a huge fan of live music. In Carbondale, I think, as a community collective understands this too, you know, there's certainly some magic involved with gathering a bunch of people in a room together and kind of the transfer of energy and these sort of things. I think there's a certain mentality and a certain kind of person that's hungry for those experiences, you know?
Right, right. It's kind of band meditation, you know? You have to empty your mind out of everything but the music, which you mentioned the world and how crazy it is out there. As a songwriter and musician, how is the world these days affecting your music, if it is at all?
That's a great question. You know, I think there's still a bit of digestion going on with all of it, you know? And this record kind of came out in the... Most of this was done before a lot of the current upheaval started taking place, you know? But going forward, it'll be... I'm not sure how it's going to inform the writing necessarily. I'm sure it will in some capacity, as everything tends to do that. You know, I think in a weird way, I feel like it's made these times when we're playing shows and everyone's getting together under the same roof or under the same sky or whatever to focus less on the stuff that's not going right and to focus on all the other things that are beautiful that we're enjoying, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And specifically in this case about being a band and playing music, about that specifically, about, us appreciating the audience appreciating us, and, just sort of sharing of that space together, being respectful of one another. It's kind of like it's a little utopian island in a weird way for just a few hours a night, you know? And I think right. people are really relishing that escape, which is great for us as a band on stage to sort of be able to participate in that.
Right. I definitely agree with that and see that. We just got done with the Mountain Fair, and it's true. It is that little respite and being joyful and being able to share in something joyful. Though I do want to say in this last album, I mean, you always, throughout your career, have touched on issues. And as you said, a lot of this was written and recorded before the current administration or any other kind of politics happened. But you have Road Dust Wheels, which is about immigration. Mm-hmm. You guys are from Austin. So basically, I'm sure immigration has been something you've been witnessing, you know, and we have all been witnessing, but Texas is definitely an entry point down there. So what inspired you to write that at that time, or for that to be written at that time?
A really good question. It just seemed like something that was a pressing issue. And I think it's, in terms of that song, it's like, without being too specific, I think there's a common thread that everyone can relate to in that song that's not even necessarily specific to that issue, you know what I mean? Because it's kind of also, besides the idea of immigration per se, it's also kind of just an examination of this idea of a longing for freedom or wanting for something better. I think that's something that, everyone can relate to. Certainly whether they've had the experience of going through something like that or not, I think literally or figuratively, that's something that's a pretty universal threat.
Yeah. Yeah. And it will continue to be. We're all immigrants. It's so interesting.
Yeah. I think in terms of like the timeliness of things, it's like, it's funny, things kind of might be brought more to our attention, like based on, whatever the media story du jour is, or, whatever sort of inflamed the news cycle, but I mean, by and large, issues haven't really changed very much. It's like we become more or less aware of them at certain times, or there's more of a sense of urgency in dealing with them. So again, like even though the record came out before the current administration, I think a lot of things that we talk about that might seem like they're relevant to that, they are, because those things have always been relevant.
Right. Right. Well, another subject you touch upon is technology and connection. And I think I read somewhere that maybe you recorded this album, last album, in analog.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yeah, a lot of it. I mean, we recorded the Pro Tools, which is computer based, but I mean, most of the gear that we're playing on and that we used and that it was recorded on, not to go too far down the technical wormhole, but it's all old gear. It's all tube and transistor based gear, So yeah, so there's a lot of what I think people would consider to be, an analog sort of quality to it. We certainly have an analog approach to playing music, I think.
Yeah, and that's exactly where I was getting to. It's very interesting where when you go to a Heathen's show, you feel that instant connection, and a lot of the sound really harkens back for me to, a time where music sounded so rich and warm and full and really could hit you deep. Now, no doubt, younger generations have been raised on, feeling that deep bass boom in their soul, and that's what they can respond to too, which is more mm-hmm. digital sound. But I would say that the Heathens is an analog sound, and that's what I love about it. Is it just kind of wraps its arms around you and just makes you move. Do you guys use technology in a lot of different ways in your music, or do you try to kind of, you know, use it where it works? It's all technology.
I think like anything else, it's a tool, you know? We've used it for a long time in the recording process, you know? I mean, we use synthesizers on our records. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to incorporate things. I think ultimately our goal with any of those things is to sort of use them in a human way, you know? In making music, it's not about making it perfect. It's about making it have a feeling and an impact and a vibe, you know? And in my opinion, like with some new music, you know, it's like things are really snap tight to a grid and everything is like kind of has an airtight quality about it. And that certainly can be cool in some applications, and that's good for some, you know, for specific kinds of music. But, you know, like if you were like new country music, for example, it's like that's sort of, you know, like as far as the performances, it's kind of the same thing that's going on with, you know, your traditional band, whether, you know, it's guitars and bass and drums and keyboards, but it's like the way that the music is treated in the post-production, it's sort of stripped of any of that vibe, you know what I mean? It's like it's hard to get a sense of what felt like in the room there.
Yeah.
And so for me as a listener, that kind of music specifically, like, it's alienating because it's sort of, it really has no identity, you know?
Yeah. 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 Well, are you guys all on your cell phones right now in the van, checking?
And that's cool. They're great tools. You know, they're useful for a lot of stuff. I mean, we travel a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're away from family, friends, and stuff like that. And it's great to be able to keep in touch with people, you know?
Exactly. So again, in a way, it's made more connection, too. I mean, it goes both ways.
Yeah, in a weird way, you know? And I don't think, again, like, it's not necessarily providing us with the full sort of connection that we're after. But, you know, I think in lieu of no connection, it's a great alternative and an option to have, you know? It's the sort of... The trick to that is sort of, you know, I mean, I'm guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. And we see it, you know, where, you know, you're in a room of other people that you could be interacting with, but like we're having a very one-on-one personal interaction with our screen or, you know, our cell phone or whatever it may be.
Right.
Which is kind of, you know, there's a evolutionary process going on with it. I'm not sure that we have fully come to grips with it and sorted it out yet. You know, things are moving at a light speed. So, takes a little time, I think, for the human to evolve and catch up.
Right. And no doubt I remember, you know, bands, there used to be strict recording policies, photo policies. I mean, now it's really hard to achieve that. Basically, if you're performing live, that performance can be all over the internet the next day and you have no control over it.
Right. Yeah. And so that's not anything I even worry about anymore. You know what I mean? It's like, I think, you know, you play enough shows, you just try to create a culture in which, you know, you encourage people to be very present as much as they possibly can, you know?
Right.
And I get it. Like, you want to take a film of your favorite song, or you want to take a picture of, you know, of a moment with your friends, and it's cool, you know, again, provided, at least in my opinion, provided that's not, like, detracting from anyone else's space or their flow or them enjoying the show, you know?
Right.
And again, I think it's like, the magic of being in a room full of people is, you know, hopefully your ability to connect and have something happen that wouldn't have happened had you otherwise not been there.
Well, we are really excited to have you here. I believe you guys are going to do a little meet and greet with KDNK members and the Mountain Fair volunteers. And we're really grateful for that time and interaction, because we too like human interaction here. And it's really nice to be up close and personal with performers that you admire and like their music. So thank you for doing that. We will be right downtown on 4th Street Plaza. It's a free show. We're excited to have everyone come out and celebrate together, because That's really, I think, one of the most powerful things that music can do is bring those people together, and you're all celebrating around a common experience.
So, that's the idea, definitely. And we've been coming to Carbondale a long time, but we know that it's a town that certainly revels and relishes the opportunities to do that. So that's why we always love coming back. You guys have always been super gracious and kind to us.
Well, everybody can find information about Band of Heathens and listen to Duende. It's playing a lot on KDNK, but you can also find it online even on Spotify, Amazon, or better yet, download it right at bandofheathens.com.
You got it.
Yeah. And will you guys have some CDs at the show?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We'll have a bunch of stuff, vinyl, CDs, all kinds of different merchandise. And even, while in Colorado, we have rolling papers, we have poster art, we have all kinds of stuff. So
oh, right. We didn't even get to talk about your great, even though you used California in that song.
We did.
That is great. And watching the videos, I do highly recommend everyone should go watch some Band of Heathens video, especially it's called Grass is Greener. Is that the video?
Green Grass of California.
Green Grass of California. That's it. It's it'll definitely make you smile. Well, thanks so much for taking this time, you guys. We look forward to seeing you here and just dancing and having a good night. So safe travels and see you soon.
Right on, Amy. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Ed. Talk to you.
Bye.
Bye.